Welcome to another Ethical Corporation podcast. I'm Jenny Bowser-Jacoby at the Business for Social Responsibility Conference in New York. Today we are joined by Annette Stube, Director of Group Sustainability for Maersk, a global conglomerate with businesses in the transportation, energy, and retail sectors in 130 countries. Thank you, Annette, for joining us. You were a featured panelist at today's session, Responsible Growth on the Frontier, which addressed how companies operating in high-risk countries like Burma can better understand the risks and opportunities they face and manage them responsibly. I'd like to start off by asking you if you could provide us with a brief overview of Maersk's current operations in Burma, as I understand that you just started operating there this year.
We did, and so far over the years we've had a lot of humanitarian aid, not a large scale, but that's the main thing that we've been doing, transporting humanitarian aid with our vessels. And there have been sanctions from the EU and the US and other. It has been basically a high risk area, so we have not been able or willing to go in. We've had some business opportunity that we have declined over the years. But we have just started up this year, yeah. So we have one man on the ground at this time.
Small operation so far.
Small operation so far.
So in your 2011 CSR report, I understand that Maersk started working with external experts to undertake a human rights gap analysis against the new UN guiding principles on business and human rights. And coming out of that, Maersk developed a framework for business and human rights and an action plan that covered 2012 and 2013. Can you share with us a top-line summary of those key action items?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of our own action items, we have done, like I think most other big companies who work in exposed countries like Myanmar have done. And so we've made an impact analysis across our companies. We are working with our legal departments to find out what to do in terms of our contracts and so on. And we are working with our local operations to find out how we can make local grievance mechanisms. Those are all the sort of the obligations under the new guiding principles. And we realized that was a typical risk management exercise and wanted to make it more attractive to our business people and thought, what if we could help open a new market with human rights and the guiding principles as the protection for going in, and without which we wouldn't otherwise have gone into that market? And that thought coincided with the release of Aung San Suu Kyi, and we found that Burma or Myanmar was an extremely interesting country. It would be very interesting for our customers. It's very resource rich. It has a very interesting geographical location. And so there are many good reasons for international companies to start operating in Myanmar, and therefore also for Maersk to be an enabler of trade between the country and these companies. And so we started working with the Ministers of Foreign Affairs in Denmark and the UK, and we pulled together the Danish Institute for Human Rights and the Institute for Human Rights and Business in London, who were very engaged immediately on the task and could see the advantages of doing this. And what came out of this was a framework with three items or three tracks. The first one is a corporate track that is setting up a resource center for companies who want to enter Myanmar. And who knows that this is a high-risk country, this is a very difficult environment, and what to do, you know, what are the appropriate steps to do. And this resource center will also enable companies to have dialogue with different stakeholders in the country. The second track is a government track, where we are engaging the government and advising the government, not us as Maersk, but the resource center is advising the government in terms of how to regulate all the companies that are now coming into Myanmar in terms of human rights. And so how, you know, let's set the bar high from the beginning rather than having to deal with all the complications after 10 years of abuse. And the third track is around investors and really providing advice to investors as well, because they're obviously, with the history that there's been with Myanmar, very concerned when companies enter this country now.
Perfect. You know, following on that point, when you did this gap analysis, did you find sort of certain checks and balances that you could have in place within Maersk to ensure that it does respect human rights and averts corruption and exploitation in countries like Burma?
Well, I think the most important realization we had when we did the human rights gap analysis was that most of the points were already covered, but they weren't called human rights. And that's incredibly important in terms of implementation of these things in the company, that we don't necessarily call them human rights, but it's actually health and safety, it's good human resource development and management. And so we already have had most of these things in place, and the gaps that we've identified vary between the different businesses that we're in because they're in different industries. And so we're going to deal with those. That's the sort of the next step at a global level.
Great. In a recent interview that you gave, you mentioned that you would like Maersk's next CSR report in 2012 to better relay the socioeconomic value of its global operations. Have you started to develop that narrative? And if so, what value has Maersk brought to countries that are really in dire need of development?
Yeah, so this is quite crucial to how we are operating with sustainability and really what's important across our businesses and what we really do. Because if we look back on the 100 years of history of Maersk, it's really all about facilitating economic development in the countries where we operate. We have a key role. We've played a key role in terms of globalization. Mm-hmm. And shipping goods around the world, facilitating that's possible, facilitating trade between countries and companies. And we found out a couple of years ago that we needed to understand what our impacts were in a broader sense, in a macroeconomic sense, rather than just for our own companies and even just for the societies where we operate locally, but in a broader sense. So one of the case studies we did was in Apapa, where we operate a large terminal, the largest port in Nigeria. And we did a study there to understand what our impacts were. How many jobs did we create by not just running a port, but running a port effectively compared to what had been done before? And it turned out that we, by having 600 or 700 people working under our employment in the port, actually created 30,000 jobs in the local economy. And you can then start calculating what that means in related effects. And the interesting thing is that it starts putting numbers on things that have just been in our stomach and say, oh, we have, you know, great impact, but we don't actually know how great or how little, as it were. Mm-hmm. And so these studies tells us how we can, or where we have these impacts, both negative and positive impacts, and how we can accelerate the positive impacts. And that's why it's so important to do these things, to really understand your impact and how you can accelerate the positive thing. And that's where we can really start moving big things rather than just small things when we, you know, when we give donations, which is good and nice, but it's not really moving large things. And that's what we need today. We really need to scale up the efforts to achieve a more sustainable world.
Thank you so much. And my final question to you is really about your global operations. And given that you have such an extensive network, how has Maersk sort of created innovative solutions or tactics to make its operations more sustainable?
Well, that varies across the businesses. I think probably the most well-known example is from Maersk Line, our container business, where we are now building the world's largest ships, the Triple E ships, which are, I think it's 95% cradle-to-cradle. They're being built right now. The first 10 ships will come out in the spring of 2013. And we realized that, steel is a scarce commodity. And the vessel's life cycle are 25 years. Mm. In 25 years, steel is going to be even more expensive than it is today. So it makes good business sense to make this type of cradle-to-cradle initiative. And that's really what we're looking for. It's where it makes good sense for society, and it makes good sense for the business as well. That's what we're looking for.
Great. Thank you, Annette, for your time.
Sure. You're welcome.